You who are visiting with us, welcome. It's good that we can come like we are this morning and worship God, our Creator, and our Heavenly Father, that we can honor our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, our King, our Priest, realizing that He is the one to whom we will give an account of our lives in the judgment. And we're writing the book, in essence, that will be opened in the day of judgment. What does it contain? What does it say? And our record will be before us when we meet the Lord in judgment. So teaches the Word of God. Our works, our deeds will be opened before each one at the judgment. Now, if you have a Bible this morning, open with me to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 13 and 14. And I hope everybody has a Bible. And if you don't, brethren, I encourage you to bring one to Bible study. I tell you about the pew Bibles. Those should be for visitors and those of us who are absent-minded. But every Christian should have his own Bible and mark in it, take notes in it. It'll be very valuable in years to come. And bring it to Bible study and to worship. But in Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate. Verse 13. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Here in this text, we're presented with two choices. Here's a crossroad in life. Now, like what William Barclay said, he stated all life concentrates on man at the crossroads. In every action of life, man is confronted with a choice. And he can never evade the choice because he can never stand still. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, that is so true. And every one of us this morning who is the age of accountability has made a choice. And you come to that crossroad in your life as to whether you're going to enter into the narrow road or whether you're going to walk the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Now, Jesus says that we are to enter. He invites us to enter. And a gate, ladies and gentlemen, that is here in the approach or entrance to the narrow way is not to exclude, but to enter. And in the parallel account in the 13th chapter of Luke and verse 24, Jesus uses one of the strongest words in the scriptures when he says, strive to enter. That word strive means to agonize. Put forth every effort to enter this straight gate. Now, there are different There are different things in this passage. There are contrasts in the text. We see, first of all, that there are two gates. Secondly, there are two ways. And thirdly, there are two groups of people. And fourthly, there are two destinies to which we will arrive. And in this audience, in fact, with everybody, we are on one of these highways. Who's reached the age of accountability? We've entered one or the other of the gates. Now, Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. And enter means that we've got to make a response, that we've got to make a decision, that we've got to act. It's not enough to hear. A lot of us hear. Many of us listen time and time and time and time again. But we do nothing about it. Oh, well, we've entered the gate all right. But it's the broad gate. But Jesus says, enter. In the 22nd chapter of Revelation, in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, for they shall enter in through the gate, the gate of the city, and have right to the tree of life. We've got to pass through. We've got to obey the gospel. We've got to strive to enter in. Now he says, this gate is straight. S-T-R-A-I-T. Not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. He's not talking about something that's not crooked. But he's speaking of a gate that is difficult and narrow and pinched and restricted. Are you listening? The gate, ladies and gentlemen, to the narrow way that leads to everlasting life is not easy. I saw a sermon one time entitled, A Broad Man at a Narrow Gate. We have to lay aside some things. We have got to get rid of sin. We must put off the old man in order to enter in through this gate. Turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. And here in verse 5, beginning, the apostle says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Then you drop down here to verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. The worldling, ladies and gentlemen, can't get through this gate. A man who's living in sin, an adulterer, a blasphemer, a person who is lying and stealing, a thief, and on, can't get through this. He has to put aside those things, enter in the straight, pinched, narrow gate. In Jerusalem is the Church of the Nativity. It's a huge cathedral. But to get in that is a real small opening door. And you have to stoop down and work your way through. Now that's what Jesus is saying here about this gate. It's difficult to go through. We cannot carry the world on our backs and get through this gate. And there's a reason for this. Because if he would have made this broader, then he would have permitted all kinds of individuals in this narrow gate, the reprobates, the debauched, the worldlings, the irreligious, and heaven, listen, heaven would not have been as attractive. Brethren, if heaven is easy and convenient to attain, it wouldn't mean as much. If all kinds of people would be permitted to enter there, if sin can go there, it wouldn't be as appealing, would it? Now look here in the book of Revelation, in chapter 22. He talks about in verse 14, they that do his commandments, they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city, for without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And then you back up to the 21st chapter, and verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And I want to go to heaven because of the kind of people are there. That's why this road is narrow. That's why this gate is restricted, in order to keep out these kind of people. And the man isn't going to walk the narrow way and the way of holiness unless he repents of his sins and obeys the gospel and purifies his heart and is cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only individual that's going through that narrow gate. But the broad, well, you can just sort of drift along. Very easy. In the broad way, all kinds of people. It's a gate of convenience. You'd have to do anything at all. It's a gate of self-righteousness, like the Pharisaic snobs. It's a gate that has false doctrines. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, here you find atheists, liberals, you find moralists. You think about it. Walking the same road are atheists and reprobates and irreligious and moralists and religious people. Somebody says, preacher, that's sort of a paradox, isn't it? A man who does not respect the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ cannot enter the gate. Though religious he may be, he's a worker of iniquity. And the man who is a good, moral, upright citizen, though he never been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, is walking the broad way that leads to eternal destruction. And so you've got all kinds of people here. You see, it's a road of least resistance. It's like water that flows downhill. People drift along with the tide. But if you're going to enter in through this gate, it takes effort. Strive, agonize to enter in. Now, there are two ways. Two gates and two ways. And this way, the Bible says, is a narrow way. And it has to do with the differences, these two ways, in the walk of life. Now, these gates, entrances, these roads, walks of life. And I want to show you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's narrow because, are you listening? Truth is narrow. Truth is narrow. This is fenced in. It is hedged in. We have no options here. We walk in truth as God directs and as God dictates. And that makes it narrow. Some of you older people, and well, some of you men might remember it. No women in here that old. But you remember the song, Don't Fence Me In, years ago? And people like that religiously, don't fence me in. Don't circumscribe me. Don't restrict me. Don't limit me. But you know, in everyday life, ladies and gentlemen, We don't oppose or fuss about the limitations in science, the limitations in other aspects or walks of life. We know that we are limited or restricted and must be in order for things to go well with us. And if we violate those, that we many times get ourselves in trouble or it won't work. And the same thing is true religiously. We walk by truth. And that's why it's narrow. That's why it's so restricted. We walk by truth in worship. We walk by truth in godly living. And whatever is required of us, if we're going to continue this path, we act accordingly. Turn in your Bibles for a moment to the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and verses 29 and 30. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." From a physical standpoint, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us would have his right eye taken out in order to save his life. And every one of us would have his right arm cut off to spare his life. In fact, a good friend of mine now recently underwent surgery to amputate both legs. He only has stubs there, but he did it to save his life. A drastic move indeed. But let me tell you something. When it comes to spiritual life, whatever is necessary to cut away, to extricate from our life, get rid of it, put it to death, cut it off. Are you listening? If we're going to walk this narrow way, if we have to put to death covetousness, if we have to put to death fornication, if we have to put to death drunkenness, if we have to put to death indifference and laziness, then get rid of it. That's what he's saying here in Matthew, the 5th chapter. In order to walk this narrow way, in morals, walk the narrow way. In doctrine, walk the narrow way. In worship, ladies and gentlemen, the narrow way. Truth is narrow. There's not this broad flexibility. The Lord says, walk that way. But you take the majority not interested in that kind of sacrifice. So they go this road. And this road is wide. It has no restrictions. This road is easy. There's no effort. The broad road. This road is smooth. It's all downhill. And this road is crowded. Because you can fulfill your inclinations, whatever they may be, and walk this road. There are two ways. But there are two groups of people. One, in the narrow road, Jesus said, there be few that find it. Few. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Most people don't believe that. There be few that find it. And we raise the question, ladies and gentlemen, why few people find the narrow way? And I answer, one reason is because it requires a lot of effort and we're not willing to pay the price. Jesus said that if you're going to follow me, you're going to deny yourself. Self-owned, self-owned, or disowned rather. yourself. And we're not ready for that. Jesus said we must love him more than father and mother or son or daughter, and some of us aren't ready for that. Jesus said that we must take up the cross and follow him daily, and some of us aren't ready for that, and so we're not interested in walking in this narrow and restricted way, and so we just drift along with the tide where it's easy. We don't want to pay the price. We don't want to give up our ways and habits. We don't want to, ladies and gentlemen, give up in life the fun and pleasure whenever we get ready to have it. We don't want to give it up. We're not ready to give it up. And so we're not subjects of the gospel. That is, we're not subjecting ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're walking along here in the wide and broad way. Are you listening? We're not ready. Let me talk to you a minute, young people. Now, some of you in this audience are teenagers, 16, 17, 18 years of age. You're old enough to obey the gospel. Now, you're making a choice, and you're walking the road. Why is it that you continue to walk this broad way? Why? Is there something you want to do that you don't want to give up to become a Christian? Why is it? Why is it? Are you not willing to make the effort to become a child of God and enter in through this narrow gate or straight gate? Why is it? And your parents are praying that you obey the gospel. And the members of this church are praying that you obey the gospel. But why is it that you hear the gospel story time and time and time and time and time again, and you won't enter? Is it because you love sin? Are just going to cost too much to walk the Christian life? Or why is it? The answer to so many times is that we want to go the broad way of convenience, of ease, instead of making the sacrifices and efforts to live the Christian life. Jesus said, "Few there be that find it. Few are going to heaven. The majority of people are not going to make it." I'm talking about moral people. I'm talking about religious people. Aren't going to heaven. So says this verse. Now, do we believe what Jesus said? I reemphasize it. Do we believe what Jesus said, that just few are going to heaven? Do we believe it? Back yonder in the days of Noah, only 8 people were saved out of a great host of individuals. Those who came out of Egypt, only 2, Joshua and Caleb, entered into the land of Canaan. Only 2 of them. The rest of them died in the wilderness. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, out of this great throng of people today, 4.5 billion, there's only going to be a handful, in contrast, go to heaven. Now, I'm getting right down where we live, brethren, because I'm just convinced that most of us, I don't know about you, but most of us, well, I do know about you. I think you believe like I do. But I'm confident that most of us in this world, even in so-called Christendom, don't believe what I'm preaching this morning. They don't believe that. And I'm seeing them more and more and more acquiescing to the beliefs that are so popular and liberalistic that regardless of what you believe or in which way you walk, God's going to take you to heaven. And of all people, The other day, Norman Vincent Peale, whom I thought really believed the Bible, for the most part. At least he believed in the Christ as the way from earth to heaven, said that was all right with for him. He believed that was the thing for him, but he couldn't say that was the way, the only way for everybody else. Now, he didn't believe this text. And friends, Jesus said, just few will enter, most will walk the broad way because of its convenience, because of its ease, because of its popularity, because we can take sin with us, we can do whatever we want to, we can walk our own ways, be our own gods, but we go over here to Christ, we're going to have to deny ourselves and surrender our heart to the Lord and accept Him as our King and our ruler. And many people aren't ready and willing to do that. Isn't that right? Lastly, the two destinies. Now these are going to end up somewhere. There are only two roads in life, Jesus said. Only two roads. And everybody's walking on one or the other. Everybody in this audience this morning is one or the other. And this narrow road leads to life forever, eternal life, and the broad road to destruction, eternal destruction. Now it's rather foolish, and you listen. It's foolish to get on a road and that knowingly and continue to walk it knowing where it leads to destruction, to harm. Would you get on a train that you knew down yonder somewhere the trestle was out, washed away? Would you get on it? Are you listening? Would you get on a train and you knew somewhere along the track the trestle was out and down into a gorge 1,000 feet deep? Would you get on it? Somebody said, preacher, we're not stupid. Aren't you? You're riding this train and it leads to destruction, but you stay on it. When I go somewhere, I get on the plane. When I fly somewhere, I get on the plane that goes where I want it to go. And I make sure I get on it, and it's very limited and narrow. You know, I can't get on any plane at any gate at any time. I got to get on a plane at a specific gate at a specific time to a specific destination. And I make sure of that. I'm not like the woman who was flying over to New York here some couple years ago. And this lady said, as we started to land in Buffalo, she said, is this Albany? Said, no, this is Buffalo. Oh, my, she said, they're waiting for me in Albany. Well, friend, we need to be sure of what we get on and where it's going. And I want to tell you this morning, and I want you to listen to me, and I impress it upon your heart. If you're walking in the broad way, I'm talking about living the life as you please in sin, that you're going to hell in spite of everything. Just as fast as you can head in that direction. That's not very nice today talking about it. But I want to tell you, brethren, I contrast 1984 with 1950, and I see a change in the thinking. We today are wanting to just stamp hell out of our vocabulary. I'm talking about in the biblical use of it. I want to tell you, young folks, you're going to hell unless you obey the gospel. And if you get in an automobile wreck this afternoon and get killed, you're going to be in hell the rest of your life. And you need to be told that. Doesn't it dawn upon you that you're headed to hell? Unless you obey the gospel, and yet you treat it with just irreverence or indifference. and you hear it over and over and over, doesn't the word of God mean anything upon your heart? One of these days when you wind up in eternal destruction, you'll cry out and weep with a gnashing of teeth. And you'll say, Lord, save me, do something for me. But time has run out and it's too late. And there's no reclamation. You obey, we do now in this life. There's nothing out yonder in the day of judgment to offer us any hope. Backslider, let me talk to you. You've been missing church time and time again. You haven't had a reason. None whatsoever. It's because of the lack of faith. It's because of negligence. It's because of simply disobedience to God. You're on the broad. You left this. You got over here. And you're walking on the broad way. I'm going to tell it like it is. A man can't be a member of the church and go to heaven and don't attend the services of the Lord as he should, just flies around the house on Sunday and reads the paper or watches television or goes out yonder somewhere at the golf course and plays with the boys and he claims to be a Christian member of the church. I want to tell you, you're on the wrong way to lead it to destruction. We've got to be faithful. Our heart's got to be right. You get the heart right and everything else is going to take care of itself. As we learn the truth, we're going to conform to the will of heaven. I believe that. But you look at the other side of this coin. What a great, magnificent, blissful place that the Lord has for us if we persevere. Brethren, we don't have anything in contrast to what the first century Christians experienced or the people back 100 years ago. We've got it so easy that we've gotten spoiled rotten. And to a degree, myself included. I don't have to sacrifice much. Huh? I don't know what it is to be really persecuted. Oh, I've been talked about a little. I've been called some unfavorable names in years gone by, but I've never really been persecuted. And I don't think you have either. What if we were really persecuted? Would we persevere? And is it all worth it out here? They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? Suffer persecution. Maybe we're not living as godly as we ought to. Brethren, when it comes down to the end of life, we've got heaven. We've got life eternally. You talk about the fountain of youth. God offered it to us here in this book who made us and put us up on this earth. And because of sin, we forfeited life. But thanks be to God, His grace and mercy, we can have life and have it abundantly. And out yonder somewhere, Jesus is in heaven. And He's coming back to receive us unto Himself. Where He is, there we'll be forevermore. Which way, how are you walking? In conclusion, there's a statement in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 4, verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet. How are you walking? Ponder the path of your feet. Are you walking with Christ? Have you entered the narrow gate, strict gate, and walk in the narrow way with the few of God's redeemed people? Or are you going along with the tide, the course of least resistance, doing whatever you want, as long as it satisfies your own carnal appetite? Make sure that that ends in eternal misery and condemnation and destruction. You can't afford to walk that way because of its destiny. Mark it down. Turn around this morning. Come and obey the gospel. Young people, you need to obey the gospel. Don't harden your heart by resisting over and over and over. Take up the walk with Christ. By His grace, you can live each day for Him. Learn and develop and grow and progress. Take one day at a time. And you can overcome as all can. Will you come this morning? If you're an unfaithful child of God, repent of your sins, confess your sins, and let us pray that God will forgive. If you're a faithful Christian, will you come and place membership with us today? Cast your lot here with this congregation and work and worship together as we endeavor to serve the Lord in this life of sin. Will you come right now? While